Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Last night's Monday Night Raw felt very much like a reset, which in a way, that's exactly what it should be. You finished with one of your top PLEs, which is, of course, SummerSlam, and you're setting things up for what should be the next month or two of television. So when you look to a post-SummerSlam Raw, you look for the buildups of the things that are to come. And I think to a good degree, we saw that last night on Monday Night Raw, but is it really what we want to see going forward? That's the real question. You can set up what we're going to see and successfully have a Raw where you say, yes, we use this Raw the way it should be used. After SummerSlam, to set up new feuds, new storylines, new gimmicks, new angles, fine. But then the question still remains, are the things that you're setting up the things the fans want to see? So this is the question we're going to ask tonight. Now, we started out with the video package of Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar and the whole thing, and then Cody Rhodes comes out. The thing about this is, with Cody Rhodes, any segment you give Cody Rhodes is going to be, 10 minutes, because it takes him 5 to get to the ring. It literally takes him 5 to get to the ring. His whole entire theme song basically plays. 3.5-minute song. It's over by the time he gets there. So you're already 3 or 4 minutes in. And this thing, as it turns out, ran about 20 minutes. Cody gets in, talks about Brock shaking his hand and acknowledging him. Seth Rollins comes out. Seth Rollins takes a long time to get to the ring. He gets to the ring and begins to talk about, well, you say that you feel like you can beat anybody. Maybe we should do this one more time, this time for the title. And before Cody Rhodes can say anything, out come the Judgment Day, and they take a little bit of time to get to the ring, but at least they're talking while they're doing it. And Damian Priest says, he dictates what goes on with the title around here because he has the Money in the Bank briefcase. Finn Balor was noticeably absent. Didn't come out with the rest of the group, which was a nice tease. And then Finn Balor attacks from behind. Judgment Day jumps in, and the fight is on. And Sami Zayn comes out to help. So Sami Zayn has absolutely nothing to do now that Kevin Owens is sidelined. And we don't know how long, by the way. We still haven't heard any word. They haven't officially said they're going to the tag team championships away from them. But here's a newsflash. If he's gone much longer, they're going to have to. They're already sort of injecting Sami Zayn into other feuds and things, so we'll see. Certainly Sami Zayn getting in a feud with J.D. McDonagh, maybe, or part of the Judgment Day, is nothing to do with the tag team title. So they're either stalling for time until Kevin Owens is healthy, or they're yet to strip them, but they will eventually. Anyway, as you would imagine would happen, Cody Rhodes says, well, I have a good idea. There's 3 of us and 3 of you. How about we have a match? Now, Seth Rollins doesn't look like he wants to accept because he's not too thrilled with teaming with Cody Rhodes. But, folks, this is the aggravation that I've been talking about for so long. So you had no main event of Raw. You started the show. You literally started the show, and you had no main event. No idea. Adam Pearce is back there saying, I wonder what I'm going to do for a main event tonight. I don't seem to have anything. I hope somebody challenges somebody. I hate when they do this. I hate when they do this. I've heard people say, oh, well, the Jimmy Uso turning on Jay doesn't make sense. That's illogical, and this is illogical. What can be more illogical than starting a show and saying, I don't have a main event. I don't really have any matches listed. I'm just going to let guys challenge each other, maybe. I hate when they do it. Absolutely despise it. But, of course, it's going to be the main event in a three-way. So, I mean, you know, listen. Did it run too long? Absolutely ran too long. Was it extraordinarily obvious? Yes, it was extraordinarily obvious. But you got a bigger problem beyond that, and that is that Cody Rhodes has continually said he doesn't want to fight Seth Rollins, and he doesn't think that belt's legitimate. And the only way to finish his story is to win the Universal title. And so now you're going to tell me he's going to go for Seth Rollins' title? Cody said he didn't want it. Going to be a hard thing to write that into a script of how you've changed your mind. Especially since you're both faces now. So I got a feeling that may never happen, based on what we've seen a little bit later. I got a feeling that may never happen. Let's hope not, because I don't know how you write yourself out of that corner. So, Mike, a very long, long intro to Monday Night Raw, setting up, I guess, the main event, which wasn't set up ahead of time. I don't know. Felt a little forced to me.
Yeah, it felt a little forced to me, too. And look, here's the deal. It's not just Cody Rhodes with the long entrances. I mean, Seth Rollins doesn't do short entrances either, you know.
Right.
His got to be 3 to 4 minutes long as well. So you got a 5 minutes from with him and 3 minutes from Seth. And then, I mean, yeah, Sami Zayn came out really fast, okay, whatever. But that's the deal. I mean, they got to do something with these entrances. But, yeah, it's obviously obvious that they do this stuff all the time. I mean, they never used to do this stuff when, say, I don't know, you know, Teddy Long or Vicky Guerrero or, you know, was in charge. Why do they feel like they can get away with this now?
I just have no idea. I have no idea. And I'll tell you something else they need to stop doing, and I think you'll both agree with me. They need to stop when two people are being beaten up by a mob, or three people, and someone's going to run down. They need to stop cueing their music first. Because, yeah, that's what you do. Sami Zayn would be like, I'm going to run up to help my buddies. Can you cue my music, and I'll wait? Yeah, I know they're getting beaten while you're waiting to cue my music, but got to have my music or I can't run out. I can understand that if somebody says, oh, the next guy out the door, I'm going to kick their ass, then you cue their music. Yeah, I get that. That's a dramatic moment. Or I challenge somebody and then music cue. But when your best friend or somebody's getting beaten severely, why are you cueing your music? I wish they wouldn't do that. I really do. Anyway, a little bit of a long start to Monday Night Raw, Todd, but, you know, at least the fans are going to get what looks like a decent main event.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the opening segment of Monday Night Raw, I almost fell asleep because it took a long time to Cody Rhodes got to the ring and got on the microphone and everything. I'm like, come on. Hurry this up.
See, the thing is, once his song plays, which is 3 minutes, then he walks around the ring and acknowledges the crowd. Then he gets in the ring, acknowledges the crowd, grabs the microphone, dramatically pauses for 30 seconds, and then says, so, fill in the name of the town. What do you want to talk about? And the crowd roars for a little bit, and he waits another 15, 20 seconds, and then by the time you do this, you have gotten 6, 8 minutes in. Now, you're right, he's not the only one that does it. Roman Reigns takes forever to get to the ring. I know Sheamus has actually went on record as saying that people in the dressing room are getting a little annoyed because he's saying the bloodline thing is constantly running overtime. They give him 15 minutes. They take 25. Everybody else's matches are getting cut because of it. Everybody else's storylines are getting cut because of it. And people are getting annoyed. Let's try to stay on a certain time frame. I know it's easy to go out there and think you're the whole show, but there are other people back there in the dressing room, too. Anyway, backstage, we get Ricochet, Chad Gable, Matt Riddle, and Tommaso Ciampa, and they're basically told by Adam Pearce that they're all going to compete in a fatal four-way to see who's going to get a shot at Gunther's Intercontinental Championship. So let's think about this. Ricochet earned this because what? Because he lost to Logan Paul. If I recall right, Chad Gable lost to Gunther. Matt Riddle lost to Gunther and also lost to Ludwig Kaiser. And Tommaso Ciampa has been dropping every match since he came back. So let me get this right. The prerequisite for getting a shot at your Intercontinental Champion is you've had to be on a losing streak? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. If that's the case, Chad Gable's already lost to Gunther. Why wasn't Drew McIntyre in it? He lost to Gunther too, but hey, so did Chad. By the way, so was Ricochet several times. And Matt Riddle. So I don't understand why these particular four people would get the shot, but I do understand that it's Chad Gable's hometown, so that I guess I get that. Now, this was a very good match. Very, very good match. Crowd was absolutely into it, and they certainly were behind Chad Gable, who was the hometown boy. There were, it was a pretty clever ending where he's trying to put the finisher on a couple different people and keeps getting blocked, finally hits Ciampa with it, gets the victory. So I'm okay with the match itself. The match itself was very good. The ending was very good. What I'm not okay with is how you explained why these guys deserve to be in a fatal four-way to decide who's going to be the Intercontinental Champion or face the Intercontinental Champion. The least you could have done was to take 1 minute to say, all of you guys have had your chances. You've had your chances to move up the ladder. And for whatever reason, all of you guys failed. So what we're going to do is going to put you guys in a match, and this is like a last chance match. Somebody's going to get a free ticket that you probably don't deserve, but that you're going to get it. Then at least we just said, all right, Adam Pearce clearly knows they've lost. They're clearly acknowledging they're not doing well. No, he acted like, oh, well, you four are the top contenders. It's impossible to decide who's the right opponent for Gunther because you're all just at the top of your game. No, they've all lost. So I don't know. Chad Gable totally over, though, in his hometown. Did a great job last night, Mike, and this should be a fun match with him and Gunther.
Yeah, that should be a fun match. What made me happy is this is one of the few times when the hometown boy or girl won.
Right.
Don't do that too often. I mean,
no, they don't.
I love Chad Gable to death, and I'm happy for him. But that's my biggest takeaway from this is that the hometown boy actually won this match. Yeah, he might not have deserved it, but he won. You know, and hey, they keep again all these guys sold that he's one of the pound for pound strongest people in the WWE. They all sold that. All the rest of the
three
guys.
They absolutely did. And you know, to your point, I think why Chad Gable won in his hometown, because you're right, they usually have you lose in your hometown. But here's why I think they might have done that. Usually when they have you lose in your hometown, because they want the person who beats you to get heat. Oh, you know, so-and-so's hometown, but this dastardly, you know, heel beats him in his hometown and the whole crowd just boos him out of the building. They didn't want anybody in that match booed out of the building because they're all faces. So I guess they figured, well, might as well let the hometown guy win because we don't want heat on anybody. You know, we don't want Matt Riddle booed. We don't want Tommaso Ciampa booed. We don't want Ricochet booed. So we might as well let the hometown guy win. That's probably what it was. Chad Gable winning. We're going to get, the rematch against Gunther. The first match was good enough, Todd, so this should be fun.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, Chad Gable won the four-way match for the Intercontinental Championship against Gunther, and after the match last night, there was a part after the match where he went over by his family, hugged his wife and his little one, his son.
Yeah, that was a good moment when he carried his son around the ring. Yeah, that was nice. We next come on Shinsuke Nakamura versus Bronson Reed. Always like Shinsuke Nakamura's work. So, and you know, him and Bronson Reed have kind of been feuding for a while. So this, I figured this is going to probably be the end of it, especially since Tommaso Ciampa was involved in the last match and probably wouldn't get involved in this match. This was probably the best of their matches, to be honest with you. And Nakamura looked really good. I think we are safe to say, though, that Bronson Reed's push is done. He's going to be that big, strong, powerful guy that you're like, can he get by him? Oh, he did. Not the no one can get by him type guy. I think Bronson Reed's push is about done. Shinsuke Nakamura's push is just beginning, as we're about to see later. But I'll be honest with you. I think I was maybe a little bit wrong about Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed is a great athlete. For his size, tremendous agility and power for his size. But there's something missing, and I don't know what it is. I guess it's just the ability to reach the crowd, because he just doesn't get over with them. They don't boo him, really. They don't cheer him. They just and he doesn't seem to be able to break through that. I don't know how you do it. He doesn't seem to be good enough on the mic. He doesn't seem to be dastardly enough of a villain to really make the fans boo him. I just don't know. I could have been wrong about him. You know, I said this is a guy who could be a top guy because he's got the size. He's got the moves. He's got the stamina. He's got everything you need. But the one thing he doesn't have is that charisma factor. He just doesn't have it. Which is amazing, really, because there are people with less, like Gunther, really doesn't have any. But yet he gets across to that crowd. Bronson Reed cannot do it. And I've given him ample opportunity to do it, and he can't. So for the WWE to say, we'll just run with Shinsuke, probably a smart move. Anyway, a good, solid match. Shinsuke Nakamura wins with the two Kinshasas. And so that protects Reed a little bit because he had to hit him with two of them, not just one, Mike. But I do think Bronson Reed's push is going to be, you know, mid-card, slightly above.
Right, and I like that because think about it. A guy, you know, what's Shinsuke Nakamura, about 220 pounds maybe? And
yep.
He's 330 or 340 pounds. Yeah, it's going to take, yes, a strike, but it's going to take that him doing his finisher to twice to get him, right? So that was logical.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I can't compare. I always like to compare Bronson Reed to, you know, Otis. Whereas Bronson Reed has no charisma, you know, but they're both about the same size, but the difference is Otis has that thing, right? He has that charisma. He has that certain thing that's the intangibles is what Otis has. That's the difference.
No question. He has the ability to reach the crowd. I'm not sure Bronson Reed really does, Todd, but this was a good match. And it looks like Shinsuke Nakamura has been told you're going to get a bit of a push, and he's turned things up a notch or two.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Shinsuke Nakamura getting a better, bigger push. And we thought he was just going to be counting the ring lights when he came up to the main roster back in a couple years ago for a while. Now it looks like he's getting like a little better push than before.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, backstage, we get a pretty good moment with Ludwig Kaiser and Otis and Maxine that leads to Otis challenging Ludwig Kaiser's pretty funny moment and goes to show you how much charisma Otis actually has. And then Becky Lynch comes out. And she cuts a promo about Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark, which brings Zoe Stark out. And Zoe Stark says, not only am I not beholden to Trish Stratus, she took me under her wing, yes, and you're jealous because it wasn't you, but I don't stand behind anybody. I'm the toughest, baddest person in the locker room. Well, that brings out Shayna Baszler, who looks worse for the wear. And I believe the black eye is probably legit because I believe that was the knee that Ronda Rousey gave her. Shayna Baszler cuts a short promo saying, you want to rethink that you're the baddest person. I retired Ronda Rousey, which apparently is going to be the explanation for Ronda Rousey not being in WWE for a while or maybe forever. I don't know. Zoe Stark kind of stumbles over her words and says, you know, she's trying to say, I'm going to make you leave, but she said Ronda Rousey, and then try to get it back. No real charisma or energy between these two. None. Shayna Baszler is at her best when she says very little, and she is a heel, and she's a very, very sadistic heel who just says, I'm bigger, badder, stronger than everybody else, so I'm just going to take advantage of them. They don't want that because they've got Rhea Ripley sort of doing that gimmick now. So now Shayna Baszler has to be a face, and she doesn't even know how to be a face. She's not good on the microphone, and we've got a problem. And we clearly have a problem because the crowd was dead for this match. And it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't bad. The crowd does not care. Don't know if you noticed, but Becky Lynch was sitting at ringside with Lemonade. And that was an homage to her being left out of the SummerSlam card where they said something about making lemonade. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. So then she's making lemonade. We get it. We get it. Again, I don't know what to tell you. You're trying to push Shayna Baszler as, I guess, a tweener. Because later on, she challenges Becky Lynch. He says, I don't need your help. I don't need anybody's help. And I'm going to be coming for you eventually. Okay. Well, then I don't know. I don't know what you're attempting to do with Shayna Baszler. Unfortunately, if Ronda Rousey lost to her to further her career and her image as the top tough guy or tough girl in the WWE, it might be wasted. And I don't know if Shayna can pull this off on the mic. It just seems like she can't. Just seems like she can't. And if that wasn't bad enough, Shayna Baszler clearly could not lift Zoe Stark. Tried to do the finisher and missed her completely. Tried to lift her, could not lift her. Had to do it again. Had to do it a second time. Now, I'm telling you right now, I know because I get people that write to me and tell me, you're always down on the women's division. Why do you hate women's wrestling? I don't hate women's wrestling. When the women put on a great match, I'll tell you, the women put on a great match. I've told you many times how I thought Asuka and Bianca Belair and several other people put on match of the night. But I'm not going to put on blinders and when the women just screw up, say, well, but they're women, so I have to say it was great. No, because that's being misogynistic. It's not being misogynistic to tell the truth. It's being misogynistic to lie because you're afraid to tell the truth. And if you're going to screw up your matches, then you're not going to be the main event. It's just as simple as that. So if you can't manage to lift somebody for a finisher, you can't remember your next move, your matches look like a clusterfuck, which this one didn't, but she did mess up the ending, then I'm sorry. I'm going to call you out on it. I would call out the guys on it. I'm going to call out the women on it. So this does nothing for Zoe Stark. And because Zoe Stark is one of those people who is best off when she's the tough guy, tough girl. You got too many tough girls. You got Rhea Ripley. She's supposed to be the tough girl. You got Raquel Rodriguez. She's supposed to be the tough girl. Then now you're going to have Shayna Baszler. She's supposed to be the tough girl. Then you're going to have Zoe Stark, and she's supposed to be the tough girl. They got way too many of those. Way too many. And if you were going to do this and do this correctly, then you had to make Shayna Baszler the face. Then you had to make Shayna Baszler a much better face to go against somebody like Rhea Ripley eventually, not Becky Lynch. So a little disappointed in that, Mike, but, you know, it was what it was.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in it as well. And to tell you the truth, if you were going to give that move to somebody, that Piper's pit, that pit move to somebody, it probably should have been somebody like Rhea Ripley or like what's her name, or even Zoe Stark, who can probably, they're all three of them can carry off that move, you know. They can get people up. Yeah. I'm not sure how strong Shayna Baszler is. And to tell you the truth, I mean, she's not even as good on the mic as what's her name? The other lady is. I'm blanking on her name now. That's in that tag team.
You talking about Ronda?
Used to be the general manager of Raw, whatever
Sonya
it was.
DeVille. No. She's not as good as Sonya Deville. Not by a long shot. Todd, it was an okay match, but you know, you gotta call it what it is, and they definitely screwed up the ending.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There, like you said about that match with Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler, we all say it for a long time. Even when she was wrestling sort of a heel, she was not good on the mic on that either, and they definitely got to get her a mouthpiece to talk for her promos.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Somehow we lost power here. I was saying, next is Ludwig Kaiser versus Otis, and I was a little worried about it because Ludwig Kaiser has been booked to have beaten Matt Riddle. He's been looking sensational, almost beat Drew McIntyre. So when he fought Otis, I'm saying, oh, dear, he's probably going to go over on Otis, and this isn't going to do much for Otis. And with a little bit of distraction and help, that's exactly what happened, and I don't know. This doesn't help Otis and too much, I would think, Mike.
It doesn't help Otis, but it was something to see him trying to play earlier before the match when he did that segment before the match in the back. It was interesting to see him play like the Lothario trying to basically steal Maxine from Otis. I mean, we know exactly what they're doing with Maxine. They're doing the same thing with Maxine that they did with what's her name a few years back, right? So we basically know where this Maxine and Otis thing is probably going to go. So it was nice to see them try to throw a monkey wrench into it.
I just hope that they don't make Otis the losing effort guy in the Alpha Academy. That's what I hope. Because Otis has far too much charisma for that. Fans have been wanting a long time for him to get a decent push. And all this was really for is to just to build up Chad Gable and Gunther, let's face it. Afterwards, Imperium's beating down Otis. Out comes Chad Gable. That's really all this was for. And I don't want Otis regulated to just being, you know, a throwaway. Because it looks like he's going back to the old Otis, right? Looks like he's, now that Chad Gable's clearly a face, looks like he's going back to the old Otis, and that old Otis is the one that has a lot of the charisma. So we then had a very weird segment. We had The Miz and L.A. Knight. And I got to tell you something. I had so many people write to me saying, wasn't this great? Wasn't this a great segment? No, this was not a good segment. I don't know what you were watching. The Miz did a pretty good job, and he laid out a pretty good case, saying, do you know how long I had to struggle here? Do you know how they kicked me out of the locker rooms and everything else? And I, you know, had to overcome this and overcome that, and then you come over here like you're all of a sudden you're this, that, and the other thing. LA Knight looked confused. He looked confused. He screwed up a couple times on the mic, which he never does. He came across a little different than he normally does. And I gotta warn you ahead of time. You gotta sharpen your game, because the crowd wants increasingly every time you come out to be more and more entertained and involved in what you're doing. And if you let them down a couple times in a row, that pop can go away. This wasn't the biggest pop I've heard LA Knight get. And there was even a few Miz chants to the point where LA Knight said, it looks like he gained a few fans. Congratulations. Careful. I know LA Knight says, I don't really have a lot of stuff planned when I first come out. I like to talk off the top of my head. Well, I have a few things planned. Because if you get stumped out there, it doesn't look good. Now, the other reason I don't like it is I don't want to see an LA Knight Miz feud. This is worthless. Miz has been presented as nothing but a throwaway for a year. It is not going to help LA Knight's career at all to beat the Miz, not at all. As a matter of fact, you've already had a setback because it appears as though the Miz outdid him on the mic. So this is not a good pairing. Not a good pairing at all. Let LA Knight go fight somebody else that he can clearly get over on the mic, and he can clearly, if he wins, it's going to further his career. It's not going to further his career to beat The Miz. And it could potentially harm his career, as I think it did a little bit last night when The Miz is so good on the mic, and then LA Knight ends up stumbling a little bit because he doesn't expect that kind of thing on the mic. And you know, it's a little revealing, Mike.
Absolutely. This was probably the worst I've seen Eli Drake look on a mic in probably years. I mean, he's been so good on the mic for so long that you expect him to be good, right? You expect it from him. And that's your point.
Yep.
He cannot be this bad two times in a row, or else There goes his popularity, and there goes, you know, right now he's basically blowing the roof off. He don't even have to do anything but stick his head out the curtain, and he blows the roof off the place. You know, LA Knight.
I agree, and I'm saying to myself, man, when he gets the microphone after the Miz has done so good. When he hands that microphone off to LA Knight, the fans are expecting, oh, my God, is the Miz ever going to get it? Oh, the Miz was great, and he tore LA Knight a new ass. But, man, now LA Knight's got a chance, and is he ever going to tear him a new ass? And he didn't. And he didn't. I mean, it would have been so easy to say, yeah, you were kicked out of the dressing room because no one took you seriously, Miz. No one took you seriously, and to be honest, nobody takes you seriously now. You can take those titles that you won, you can take all those accolades that you did, and you can throw them in the garbage, because here you are on a Monday Night Raw, and the best that you can possibly be doing is to interview me. So how far did your career come, Miz? Everybody else is wrestling tonight, Miz. Everybody else had a spot, Miz. Where's your spot? Your spot's interviewing me. Instead, he just goes to the tiny balls thing because you could tell he didn't have prepared material and he wasn't sure what to say. So he just went to the, you got tiny balls thing. Well, you got to be above that. You got to come out with some real slamming stuff, man. You got to come out with some stuff that's just like, whoa. Damn, talk about cutting them to the bone. He didn't cut them to the bone. And if you'll notice, when he shook his hand after he dropped him on his head with his finisher and sarcastically said, hello, my name's L.A. Knight afterwards, because Miz was saying you never really formally introduced yourself, crowd wasn't popping that loud. So he's got to be careful. If you're going to get in a feud with a guy who's great on the mic, you better have some prepared material. Because if you don't, and that guy comes off looking better than you, that's not good for LA Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about them. That thing, that segment with LA Knight and the Miz, and like you said, looks like last night LA Knight looked like he was confused, didn't look like he was there or anything, and he needs to come up with something new with his own material.
No, I don't know.
I
don't know if it's a fact or not, but it almost looked like he wasn't expecting the Miz to go where the Miz went. It almost looks like the Miz said, I'm just going to say X, Y, and Z, and then went out there and started really talking about what have you been doing for 20 years? Nothing. You know what I mean? And he was like, I didn't know this was all going to be brought up, and I don't have any snapback for it. It almost feels as though he got blindsided. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what it feels like. Feels like he didn't have a comeback because he didn't realize the conversation was going to go there. So it'll be interesting to see if we hear anything about that. Anyway, we have the Viking Raiders coming out challenging anybody. Now, you already know when the Viking Raiders come out to challenge someone, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. Viking Raiders are now right back to what they used to be, which is a joke. They can't seem to figure out a way to use the Viking Raiders the right way. However, it was great to see Kofi Kingston back. It was great to see a New Day back. Kofi was obviously ecstatic to be back. You could see him really showing off that he was not in any way, shape, or form injured or impaired by it. So I'm glad we got the New Day back, but man, at the expense of the Viking Raiders, it really made them look bad, Mike, because this wasn't even a long match.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If anybody, you know, they've been going a while, right? If anybody deserves, if they have to take the championship away from Zayn and Owens, because Owens is out any length of time, which they probably will have to, and I don't know. We'll talk about what happened to Zayn in a little while, but I would love to see them, the New Day, get another reign. Even if it is a temporary reign, even if it is a temporary reign, I'd like to see the New Day get another reign as champions.
Yeah, it could very well happen. That's the first thing I thought of when New Day came back is I wonder if they're going to be interim champions because they're popular and everything, and maybe that would be the way that you could get Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, the belts away from them without the fans being too terribly upset. We'll see what happens there. Didn't help the Viking Raiders any, though, Todd. I mean, they look pretty helpless.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when the New Day came out last night for their on-TV return, and when Kofi Kingston got in the ring, didn't lose a step. He didn't look rusty, didn't look terrible. He looked like he could still go after the ankle injury he had.
Yeah, absolutely. So now it is time for the main event. And it was obviously the Judgment Day versus Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, and now Shinsuke Nakamura, because backstage, Sami Zayn's attacked by J.D. McDonagh. And I don't know what Sami Zayn can or cannot do with his arm, but it really looked as though he dislocated his elbow. The way his elbow was pointed out, I'm like, wow, that looks legit. And they were saying, well, Sami Zayn wants to go, but he can't go, so it's just going to be 2-on-3, and I don't even know if I can trust Cody, so I'm just going out there and do what I can do. Shinsuke Nakamura comes over to Seth Rollins and offers his services, and Seth Rollins says, absolutely. Absolutely. Got a lot of respect for you. This should be great, so that'll be awesome. And away they go. Well, before the Judgment Day can even get to the ring, Raquel Rodriguez attacks Rhea Ripley. And there was a complete mayhem with Candice LeRae coming out and Indy Hartwell coming out, and back and forth they went, and eventually that gets cleared away. Literally, that took like 10 minutes. This main event was very long because that took like 10 minutes. You could clearly see in the beginning that Damian Priest and Finn Balor aren't really getting along. So there was a little bit of a tease here that this could be the moment that Finn Balor and Damian Priest self-destruct. But cleverly enough, that's not who self-destructed. Now, yes, Finn Balor did get pinned. Cody Rhodes, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Seth Rollins win. But then, inexplicably, Shinsuke Nakamura kicks the head off Seth Rollins, leaving Cody Rhodes stunned, Seth Rollins laying there in a heap, and Nakamura walks out by himself. And the implication is Nakamura's fed up. He's fed up of being the fan favorite who always gets crapped on, and he is going now to try to solidify himself as one of the top guys in the industry, and he's going to do that by taking on the champion, Seth Rollins. I'm all for it. I'm glad Shinsuke Nakamura is being taken more seriously. I realize he likes to surf, and he says, I don't really need to work too hard, and I'm fine with just being in tag team matches with Rick Boogs or dancing around a little bit and doing five-minute matches. But I think deep down in his heart, Shinsuke Nakamura is probably happy he's going to get a run. He's going to get one more run as like a main eventer. He was a main eventer last night. He's going to be a main eventer again. This could be his last big run in WWE. I think it's a good idea. Shinsuke was getting stale as a face. And he's going to be one of those heels that there is some motivation for what he's doing. He was being misused. He was getting people interfering and doing crapola and not respecting him. Those things were happening. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. And listen, a Shinsuke Nakamura-Seth Rollins match sounds okay to me, Mike.
It sounds real good to me. And if they're going to make him, a lower-level main eventer, that could, after whatever happens with Seth Rollins happens, you know, they could absolutely come. And we know AJ's on his way back, or is back. We could very well see a redux of the AJ thing, the AJ Shinsuke thing. And hell, when AJ leaves, when AJ decides to hang him up or whatever, you could be very well looking at the new leader of the OC.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing what they're doing with Shinsuke now, because I had been led to believe that Shinsuke was finishing out his contract, probably not going to sign another wrestling contract, and kind of was just going to be used to put people over and not be a main eventer or go for any major titles, just be a respected name that, oh, they got by Shinsuke Nakamura, then, you know, they must be taken seriously. And it seems like they said, yeah, maybe not. You know what? Let's give this a run. And to be honest with you, Shinsuke Nakamura and Seth Rollins, that's going to be a match. That's going to be a really, really, really good match. And if you can get Nakamura to be taken seriously now, at this point in time, you got to get Nakamura on television taking out people. I mean, really taking people out so that they can say, this is a whole new Nakamura. I mean, it seemed like Shinsuke Nakamura was in a rut for a little while, and maybe something snapped in his head or whatever, but he's not in a rut anymore. He's taken out Bronson Reed. He's taken out whoever, this guy, that guy, this guy. Seth Rollins' title is definitely in jeopardy. If you can manage to do that, we're going to have a really good match. We're going to have a really, really solid match. So this is what it looks like for the future. We have teased, obviously, that Damian Priest and Finn Balor are going to go at it eventually. There's something now with J.D. McDonagh and Finn Balor on the horizon. Let's hope it's not a tag team called the Lethal Leprechauns, because that's what they look like. We have Shinsuke Nakamura full heel turn, which is interesting. We have the women's tag team titles being stripped. God, those belts. Everybody that holds those belts, something bad happens to. It's really weird. Right? Every time somebody gets a tag team, the women's tag team title, something happens. Strange. Anyway, you're going to have brand new women's tag team champions. We have a brand new women's champion. So we're seeing some things happen. Chad Gable is now being elevated to possibly being an intercontinental champion, or at least going for a title. And then we've seen some people demoted. It looks like Matt Riddle is going to be an also-ran. I don't see anything big on the horizon for Tommaso Ciampa. He just loses and loses and loses. We haven't seen Indy Shear tag team in I don't know how long. Long time. Haven't seen neither one of the former NXT women's tag team champions in a long time. However, it does appear as though Nia Jax will be making her return to the WWE in a short period of time. Now, there's no word on whether it's going to have anything to do with the bloodline, that maybe they'll substitute her for Naomi, which I hope not. Or maybe it's, well, this is a real powerhouse and Rhea Ripley's not going to be able to deal with this because she's never dealt with anybody like this. That's a possibility. I don't know what the actual possibilities are, but I know Nia Jax had said she wasn't overly interested in returning, and now all of a sudden the rumors are that she is, so that'll be interesting to see. As far as how this whole Raw was, well, look, folks, here's the thing. It's a reset Raw. You have to give them some time to reset the playing field and say, okay, we're going to show you the directions the show is going in now. I've just labeled it a little bit. Shinsuke's going to be a heel. We're going to have new women's tag team champions. It appears as though they're going to push Chad Gable and maybe not so much Otis. It appears as Matt Riddle's kind of being taken down a notch or two. We didn't even see Drew McIntyre. Interesting. So, again, the direction's being set. The New Day's back. JD McDonagh is involved somehow with Finn Balor. Shayna Baszler is now elevated to badass status, I guess. So they're setting the table. They're resetting the table. You can't judge the meal when they're still setting the table, if you know what I mean. Last night was a table-setting show. The meal is coming. So I'm going to be a little more lenient on this than I normally would be. If this was a show that was a couple of weeks before a pay-per-view or in the middle of a pay-per-view, between pay-per-views, I'd probably give it a C, C minus. But it's not. It's a table-setting show that came right after a major pay-per-view. And for that reason, I think it accomplished what it needed to accomplish. It started setting the table for things that we'll see if we like. It's too early to tell if we're going to like some of this stuff or some of the direction it's going. So I'm going to give it a B minus. I think it was a decent show overall, and I think we got to give it a week to kind of, you know, fester and see where it goes from here, Mike.
Right. And look, even with the little niggles here and niggles there, I've got to give it a flat B because I liked it, and I want to see what happens with the whole women's tag team thing, because obviously they're bringing her back. They're bringing Nia Jax back. And we know about the rumors about Kairi Sane. So if they bring Nia Jax back, yeah, they're going to run something with her and Rhea Ripley. I can see that. But you could very well see them put back together Nia Jax and what's her name? Tamina. Right, and then if Kairi Sane comes back in, well, you can see him put back together either. I know what's her name's holding the championship right now, but I think she's just an interim champion. Is EO?
EO, yeah.
I think she's just.
I, I think you're probably right there. You might get a couple of really good matches between her and Asuka, though, which will be a lot of fun. I hope they go that direction. Well, I'd like to see that. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I'm gonna give it a B minus.
Yeah, look, folks, it wasn't the greatest Raw, but again, it's a table setting Raw, so you got to give them a little bit of a leeway. The things you have to stop doing, at least in my opinion, in the WWE in general, not just on Raw, is one, acting as though you have no matches set. You can even make it an angle once in a while. You could have somebody attack somebody, challenge them to a match, and Adam Pearce say, well, based on what happened, we're going to have that match. Then go back and tell so-and-so, I'm sorry, your match is canceled. And they can say, what do you mean my match is canceled? You know what I mean? And that could lead to something. But to just say, well, we didn't have anything to fill that 25 minutes. Do you know how long the main event was? So Adam Pearce had nothing to fill all that time? That's crazy. You can't do that. At best, you could have said, well, we have a match scheduled. It's supposed to be Cody Rhodes or Seth Rollins versus one of these guys. And then have, well, okay, let's say Cody Rhodes is going to take on Damian Priest, and then Seth Rollins comes out before Judgment Day comes out. And then when Damian Priest comes out and everything happens, I'm saying, well, you know, we were scheduled to have a match at the main event, but how about we make it a three-way? At least they say, okay, you had something scheduled. But to just say, oh, well, we're not doing anything tonight. So Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, the Judgment Day, and Sami Zayn showed up to Raw with nothing to do, with absolutely nothing to do. See what I mean, Mike? That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And is it any wonder that Sheamus is speaking up for the locker room? And he's pissed about this stuff going on, right? I mean, when you've got a veteran like Sheamus that's probably at the end of his career, and he's speaking up about stuff like this, and he's not happy about it, well, what can you do? I mean, if you're the WWE, you better listen to Sheamus.
Yeah, you know, Sheamus was quick to say, look, I understand the Bloodline's the top storyline, and I love what Roman Reigns is doing, and I like Roman Reigns. But what you have to understand is there are people in that locker room who want a few minutes of time to tell their story too. And if you're going to give them the whole show every week, all you're doing is promoting one particular group. And you should be promoting several at the same time, which is what we said from the beginning. Eventually, the Bloodline storyline is going to get old. You got to start building up all the other storylines now that's interesting. So you say, okay, well, I like the Bloodline story, but this is good too. Oh, and this is good too. They're not really doing that. They're just all about the Bloodline. Let's see another storyline. Yeah, I know they got the thing with the Judgment Day going, but that's not as good as it could be. Let's start giving some other people some time to tell a good story. The Bloodline had plenty of time to tell their story. Plenty of time. So I think Sheamus is right about that, to be honest with you. I think you need to start, and you need to start right away. You got to give some people some time to breathe. And one thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to tell everybody involved in the Bloodline, you got to stick a little bit closer to the time constraint. If we tell you you have 15 minutes and you take 25, that's not acceptable. You know, if we tell you have 15 and you take 17, but when you damn near double it, you're taking opportunities away from other people, and that's not fair. So I think, Mike, they're going to really have to, bite the bullet on this one and let them know that this is just not acceptable.
Absolutely. And the other thing they're going to have to do is, I know people like Cody Strong and some, they also like Seth to chant Seth Rollins, to sing just Seth Rollins to the ring. But you're going to have to tell these two guys, and some of these other people too, but you're going to have to tell these two guys, you know, we're going to rework your song into something starter, better, you know, so where we can get you to the ring and we can cut down some time. So so we can have other people.
That's a good point. Can you get to the ring in like a minute and a half? Does it really take 5 minutes? That's a lot of time. There are people in the dressing room who would love 5 minutes to just show you what they could do. And guys are taking that long to get down to the ring. So, yeah, I mean, Sheamus does have a point. He does have a point. Anyway, folks, it was an okay Raw. We'll see what ends up happening. Of course, SmackDown coming up this week should be extra interesting, and we'll be back here on Friday with the weekly wrap-up. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling.